This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Josh Schaub is the commissioner of the American Association of Professional Baseball, arguably the most successful of affiliated baseball leagues. Josh is also a sports lawyer, entrepreneur, and adjunct professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School. Josh, great to have you on the show.
Great having me, Doug. Appreciate it.
I want to talk about the evolution of minor league baseball and a lot of other things like AI and sports betting during this. Within sports law, you've worked with major, minor, and collegiate leagues and teams all over the world that are seeking ways to operate more efficiently. Tell us how they can accomplish that.
Well, one is a cross-pollination of best practices. So oftentimes in leagues, we have teams that operate in silos. You know, there's a team that uses their marketing tactics in Scranton, Pennsylvania, or Scranton. And then you have tactics being used on the West Coast. And not very often until more recent times, those teams actually come together, learn from each other, and cross-pollinate ideas and assets. And then having shared infrastructure at the league level to help with team services. So that oftentimes happens at the highest level of sport, is not happening at the minor league level. And I will say the underpinning behind all that is the governance documents. If you have a strong and really well-written governance documents, it allows for the sharing of best practices, the sharing of just ideas and assets that helps leagues become more efficient.
Not everybody gets to have their signature on a baseball, but as commissioner of your league, you get to have that. Now, this league has been around for a long time, since 2005, so obviously has had its success, and we'll talk about some of the alumni a little bit later. But why do you feel this league is important?
Well, this league fits within the baseball landscape of the United States, and it really serves a great purpose of harboring a labor pool that is not within affiliated baseball at that time. In fact, some of them are the best players in the world at their positions. However, the way that Major League Baseball's collective bargaining agreement sets up, there is not enough room for the top players, the top echelons of AA and AAA. So at some point, some big league team said about some of our players, we don't believe you're a big leaguer. Now, that may be true for that particular team, but the player then comes to us. They're still either entering their prime or in their prime, and another big league team may have a spot open up for them later, and it may be due to injury. It may become because the player comes to us and starts a new pitch or creates a new pitch or switches positions or whatever it may be, switches from starter to bullpen. And that big league team then finds that player and says, we've got a spot for you to fit. And we've had a lot of success stories in that realm. Last year, we started our league with 25 big leaguers that had big league experience. We now have 55 players that have played our league that have gone on to Major League Baseball after being in our league. And then there's numerous others that have gone on to NPB, LMB, hopefully soon KBO as well. So other international leagues flowing from the American Association. So we are, again, that labor pool of players that maybe don't fit due to collective bargaining reasons and things there, or they're just aged out, or some big league team, not in their finest hour of wisdom, says they're not a big leaguer. And then another team picks them up and brings them to the big league. So we have a great role in this industry.
The American Association of Professional Baseball has indeed had several players, and many of them are currently playing in the majors. The most famous would be pitcher Max Scherzer.
A huge ovation from the crowd when Max Scherzer came jogging out of the dugout back to the mound for the ninth inning. Swing and a miss. Number 19. He's one off tying the major league record for strikeouts in a single game. The count 0-2. Now the kick. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a slider. He has tied the major league record for strikeouts in a game with 20 strikeouts.
Max Scherzer at that time was with the Washington Nationals when he had those 20 strikeouts. Of course, now he's with the World Series champion Texas Rangers, expected to be back on the mound maybe later this month after an injury. He pitched for the Mets for a while when he was back in the American Association. He played for Fort Worth. Do you remember those days?
I do not. I was fairly young back then. I was actually still in law school, and Max Scherzer was appearing for the Fort Worth Cats. But the stories about Max continue in the league, talking about even at that time his preparation for hitters and sitting in the dugout taking notes on hitters. And, you know, at that age, he was very young doing that. Everyone knew he was destined for greatness. We obviously know what happened in the draft leading to him coming to the American Association. But he, David Peralta, another huge name that played in the American Association, the stories about those players persist.
You could have chosen many things, and you have done many things in your life as a sports lawyer and entrepreneur. Why the passion to want to be a commissioner of an independent baseball league?
That's a great question, Doug. And it really like goes back to my childhood. So my dad was very involved in amateur athletics. He officiated 8 different sports at the high school level and college level. And then he was the commissioner of 2 high school leagues. So very early on, I would travel with my dad and watch sport administration, state track meets, state high school baseball tournaments, state volleyball tournament, travel these little towns in northern Wisconsin and just watch him officiate. And I think from a very early age, I knew that I wanted to work in sports. In fact, before I knew I wanted to be a lawyer, I knew I wanted to work in sports. And then when I went to undergrad, I started taking constitutional law and realized I love the law. I love the idea of the law, the legal theory, and decided my pathway after sports would be into law. So I did an internship with the Milwaukee Brewers and scouting. I then went on to law school, and I met the then commissioner of the Northern League while I was in law school, Clark Griffith, and I started clerking for him. So I started to understand what that position really was at that time in the early 2000s. And as time marched on, having the combination of legal skill, a little bit of business background and experience, and then having a passion for baseball, those all meld really well together to become a commissioner.
Did you play when you were young?
Not very well, but yeah, I did. I always tell people I was a pretty good little player for Northern Wisconsin, but as the fishbowl grew, right, the size of myself as a fish got smaller in comparison to others. So I think the bigger thing about my experience in baseball is I love playing, but I love thinking about the game and I love the strategy of the game. And I love knowing instantaneously when this ball is hit, where to go. Those kind of things are what really drove me in baseball, is the mindset around it. And that's what I loved.
Isn't it interesting, though, when you think about how you have approached sports, you've looked at it in a much different way than many people do, because you're thinking about, just as you talked about, the rules, the strategy, the promotion of a possible sport, the legalities that are involved in that. And that happened to you at such an early age. I guess you were destined to be this lawyer who would eventually become a commissioner in many different capacities. You've been involved in the Beauty League, which is a fun league for hockey. But as commissioner of the American Association of Professional Baseball, you've been able to use your passion, put it all together. Not everybody can do that. So you've been fortunate.
Yeah. And you've had Major Arena Soccer League too. So I was previous to this job, the commissioner of a professional soccer league, and much of it's the same. Right? There's rules, there's governance, there's discipline, there's investigations, there's PR, there's sales, sponsorship, broadcast. A lot of those things are the same across sports. The cultures are very different across sports. What is acceptable in one sport from a discipline perspective is completely heinous in another sport. Those are the only differences. Culturally, the business model is different. You know, we play so many more games than professional soccer. So that changes the dynamic of how we operate, and you're never off in baseball. I mean, 6 days a week, our staff at the league and teams are constantly working. In soccer, we digest for 6 days before you have the next set of games. So that's been a big change. But remember, too, as a commissioner, you have to have a lot of tools in your tool belt: PR, legal, business, orator, governing person at the board, CEO. I mean, you go through the gamut, and the spectrum of skills you need to have is extensive. And the new one I have to have now is real estate and real estate knowledge, because now we're building stadiums, and it's really come to fruition that we're going to have multiple stadiums coming online in the upcoming years. And it's about these work-live-play developments. And so understanding bonding, government relations, lobbying efforts, things of that nature are really critical in the role that I have now.
I'm so glad to hear about expansion and new stadiums, because in our area, it's been a mixed bag of results when you think about it, Josh, because we had the Newark Bears. And they came back as an independent league team, struggled for attendance, and then eventually had to fold. And this wonderful stadium, you know, is no longer a home of minor league baseball. Whether it's affiliated baseball or independent, you have the Staten Island Yankees, no longer, you know, associated with the Yankees. Yeah, they're the Staten Island Redhawks now, but that's an independent league, not connected with the Yankees. A lot of people had fun. You know, they would see those Yankee players coming up and say, hey, yeah, even the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates was the manager of the Staten Island Yankees at, you know, at one time. We've also had successes. We've had the Lakewood Blue Claws. They've been very successful. And we've also had the Somerset Patriots, who've been very successful through the years. What is the status right now for independent baseball?
Well, I'm glad you said that. So the big change happened about 2019 heading into 2020, where we were no longer deemed independent. We came under the major league auspice under Commissioner Manfred's one baseball theory, that the four top, what was then known as independent leagues, came under the umbrella of Major League Baseball. And people ask all the time, what does that mean? It means that we share marketing tactics. We share marketing assets with Major League Baseball to help promote the game. Rob Manfred's theory is more baseball is better. And I'm so glad the commissioner's office has come around on this particular issue. We used to be seen as competition for Major League Baseball, for affiliated baseball. Now I think everyone understands we're not the competition. We're the aid, right? The competition is other sports, other forms of entertainment, esports. That's really what we're trying to fight off here, including fighting for athletes, getting the best athletes to play baseball to continue us. The other point is, as far as our stability goes, remember that many of our cities we sit where affiliated baseball didn't want to be, including that I-29 corridor, Fargo, Winnipeg, Sioux Falls, Sioux City, Lincoln. Miles Wolf, my predecessor, put baseball there when those people said that that couldn't happen, that wouldn't work. So our stability has never been better. Again, hearkening back to what I said earlier about the cross-pollination of best practices, our numbers are up and to the right, both attendance, sponsorship, concessions, merch. We're looking really good. The other thing that's really unlocked it is non-baseball revenue. So our teams being able to put on non-baseball activities and the cultural platforms known as stadiums, which they are cultural platforms, not baseball stadiums, that has really turned the key to our stability. So yes, there's been failures in the long history of this type of baseball and independent league baseball as we knew it. Since then, our governance standards, our quality of ownership, our marketing has gotten so much better to the point where we feel very good about our stability, and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. So that's great. And again, the work-live play developments. So when we talk about failed stadiums, stadiums that maybe were bonded by the public that didn't go well, typically those are built on the outskirts of town on cheap land in the hopes of development coming along, not in ideal locations for fans to want to go to, not in dense areas, not in areas downtown. Now we flip the script on that and say, we want to exist in a dense area and build more density around it to make it a year-round entertainment hub. And that has been really beneficial for us.
One of the fantastic things about baseball, the names of the teams. What's your favorite team in the American Association? I know that's difficult to say, just the name, not your favorite that maybe that you root for on the side, because I know you're rooting for all of them. But what's your favorite name?
Yes, I am agnostic. I don't choose winners or losers of anything. I will tell you, just in general, my idea is that I love team names that can identify a culture. So it can identify something about that location that's really important. And there's some cool ones. You go to the Goldeyes, very cool. Winnipeg-esque, Milkmen, Wisconsin, you know, Dairy, Dock Hounds. If you know, Lake Country's got all these lakes around it. So Railcats, the steel yard, right next to the manufacturing, United Steel. So those types of names, Railroaders, I'm just going through the list now, very cool names that attach to the culture of their communities. And the other one that's like really cool in our league is the Monarchs, right? The pulling back that old Negro League bygone era that lives and breathes in our league today. I think it's so cool that they brought that back. And I think many would agree that is the most unique thing we have going in baseball in terms of names right now, is the reliving baseball past today.
And the Monarchs were champions last year, right?
They were. They've had a successful run, and they've got a great setup down there, great program, beautiful stadium. So we're very proud of the Monarchs.
I happen to like Milkmen. I don't know. That's my favorite one from your league, because it just, like you said, it not not only the cultural significance, but it just brings back the memories of the person who would carry milk and put it on, you know, on the porch, and great memories of mom and dad, you know, having a milkman deliver the product. It's a wonderful thought. What has been the biggest challenge as commissioner of this league?
I think growth, expansion is really difficult. Building stadiums is hard, right? That's the tough part. And if you look at our geographic footprint, you have affiliated baseball, you have MLB Partner League baseball, and the markets that can sustain professional baseball have kind of been taken up for the most part, with some exceptions. There's even some markets that probably host professional baseball that has summer collegiate league baseball. It's very successful in doing that. So I think the growth side is difficult. Growing pains is difficult. You know, we went from a league that the league office, and this is not bemoaning this, but just the business model was schedules, umpires, baseball's discipline, just very simple, trimmed down business model, to one where we looked at the league and said, there could be significant growth at the league level. We can have sponsorship at the league level. We can have broadcast held at the league level. We can have a commissioner seated with more business power. We have a league office that's grown significantly. We've actually marketed the league, put branding around the league, a lot of social media into the league. We have our own O&O TV property. So the growth comes with difficulty, and it grows with pains, because not everything we do at the league level is beneficial to everyone equally. It's not equitable across the board always. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but growth is always difficult. And I'll just say, Doug, the other one is the pandemic. The pandemic had such a lifespan beyond it. So decisions we made during the pandemic both benefited us and hurt us later on. So teams that chose to participate there took a huge swing financially to make that happen for that year. Those were not profitable years for our teams, but they thought it was important to keep our brand on the shelf. And really, that was the catapult that really pushed the American Association to the top of the partner leagues and got us so much national recognition. So that was really critical too. So tough for those teams that gutted it out, longstanding. They've had a long recovery from that, but for the league, it was a catapult.
Very interesting. And thank goodness, as you mentioned, for the partnership with Major League Baseball, that this has enabled your league and others to survive and flourish. So you had a podcast back in 2020 and Commish Talks.
Yeah.
And it was back then you talked about AI and sports betting and how it would impact baseball. Now, 4 years later, boy, a lot has changed. Both AI and sports betting, major parts of the diamond landscape. What are your thoughts on tech right now?
Tech is a critical part of what we do as a business. You know, we try to integrate as much as possible. What we don't like is being on the bleeding edge of tech. We like adopting tech that is beneficial for us now with a little less risk. Sports betting is going to be out there. It's not appropriate for the American Association at this time, but it is going to be a part of our industry for a long time to come. AI, we want to integrate on the player data side, telling us how players are going to perform. Most importantly, the fan side. Trying to appeal to fans and learn what they want, how they want, and when they want it is really critical, and AI can deliver that to us.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
So let's say there's one, maybe it's the championship game of the American Association of Professional Baseball, and you get to go back in the past, no family members, and invite 3 people to sit next to you, either in a box or front, you know, right there on left field line or on the right field line, and get to enjoy your sport, your league, with 3 others. And who would they be?
So I didn't tell this history earlier, but I used to scout for the Milwaukee Brewers as an associate scout and worked in the front office. And One of my mentors in baseball is Harvey Keene Jr. Not Harvey Keene Sr., which everyone is he's most popular for, but Harvey Keene Jr. is a scout for the Brewers for 30 years. He taught me so much about baseball and life and the industry and the culture. And I would bring Harvey. And because when I first learned how to scout, Harvey used to sit behind me in a seat and just talk into my ear about what he was watching. And it was such a cool moment in baseball. So I'd bring Harvey. Did you say they could be past?
Yes.
In the past?
Yeah.
Commissioner Landis, I would bring back. I just like such a character. Legal background too. We might hit it off. I think that would be super intriguing. And recently I read Heartball by Bowie Kuhn. I think Bowie Kuhn would be pretty interesting to me because I read that book and think even at the major league level, it is not much different than what we're doing now. The characters, the ownership, the strategy, the marketing, the pains with starting new marketing, that's really important. So
commissioners sometimes, no matter what league, they're always the brunt of criticism because when things are going good, nobody's ever saying anything. It's when they disagree with something that they come down on you. You have to have a thick skin to be a commissioner no matter what league, right?
You do. You do. There was a saying that was told to me a long time ago by Bill Lee, the commissioner of the Frontier League. If you need to be told that you're doing a good job, this job is not for you. I mean, that is really critical as we think about this is a lot of times we get arrows our way and we can't send arrows back. We just kind of have to take them. Now we have governance, right? And we discipline and we issue that discipline and then that's it. We don't talk about it anymore. We don't comment. We don't have attacks on people, so on and so forth. So that's really critical for us is if you need to be liked or told you're doing a good job, this is not for you. But I will say, I often, my owners support me pretty well. Tell me I'm doing a good job.
Last question here on Sports Jam with Josh Schaub. You have a magic wand and you can create anything you want with the American Association of Professional Baseball. What would be the ultimate for you to see for this league?
Growth. So I would like to see 12 new teams in the next 5 years and get to 24. I think that'd be really critical because with that density of teams comes a lot. Sponsorship, more cross-pollination, the ability to share assets, team services, broadcast deals get better, just the intrigue around it. Now, that brings some fear too. There's only a pool of players in the United States and North America that can feed the MLB partner leagues. And the fear around that is, you know, we're not the only league trying to grow. The Atlantic League's trying to grow, the Frontier League's trying to grow, the Pioneer League's trying to grow. So that pool of athletes keeps getting thinner and thinner. You know, so we want to maintain the highest quality of play on the field. And that's really critical to us. So we need to get better in a lot of facets, just not only on the business side, but just being better with our athletes. So growth is the key. Magic wand, 12 more teams in 5 years to get to 24.
Just curious, as a sports lawyer, do you help individual players deal with some issues?
I do. I don't anymore. When I practiced, I definitely did. I represented non-baseball players, track athletes. Back when NIL flipped on, I actually represented some college athletes when the early stages of NIL deals, which look way different than what they look like today. But yes, I did represent individual athletes in matters, NCAA athletes that had scholarships revoked, things of that nature.
You have a fun job and an exciting career, and we're glad to learn much more about Josh Schaub. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, continued success with the American Association of Professional Baseball and your family. Thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also hear Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Josh Schaub. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.